How do you turn a retail business into a business for the future? By laying off all the people that can help you accomplish it, apparently. Our best wishes to those impacted by this news. This is just one headline. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of Orange Lounge Radio, the show where every gamer has a voice. Not live on this lovely Sunday evening with episode number 790 of our show, but I'll explain a little bit more on that in a moment. But we still have some things to go over, some news to discuss, some video games to play, gaming culture to cover, all that good stuff. Myself, Rob Roberts, joining you here at Twitch TV/VOG Network, where we do broadcast usually live every Sunday night at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, although this week has been prior recorded earlier in the week. But it's going to feel like a little bit of a normal show, but maybe a little shorter because it's already kind of late on a Thursday night here in Studio N7. But joining me here on video for the show this week is Techmaster Loki.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm full now.
That was some bomb-ass chicken that you brought
to the
show.
It was some bomb-ass chicken.
It's a bummer it took me a while to get set up for the pre-recording thing because you that was some good chicken.
It was.
It was a Korean chicken, Korean grilled chicken?
It's supposed to be like Korean oven roasted chicken or oven. They also have fried chicken as well, but it's like that one was a garlic chicken, which was garlic, soy sauce, and like honey or something. But oh my God, it was so good. Like, I'm already wanting to go back.
All right, it smelled good, and I think Mr. Smush is going crazy over there about it, too. You might see Mr. Smush cameo on cam tonight because there's an empty chair across there because she's not here in studio tonight, Dart Saka or Jamie Summers, but thanks to the magic of the internet, she's joining us, as they say on the news, via satellite. Dart Saka, are you there?
I can't believe y'all haven't had Korean fried chicken before because that stuff is bomb.
I feel like I had it once, but it was a long time ago.
But, didn't I ever take you to Bonchan?
I don't think I've been to Bonchan. I know there's like it's a chain now. There's like a couple of those around. No, the fried chicken I was all about recently was the halal fried chicken.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh man, that stuff is good.
But if their fried chicken is, I don't know, this chicken is pretty good. So I do need to try their fried chicken.
I'm excited.
Both of you.
And both the Popeye's new chicken sandwich that I hear is really awesome.
I'm taking you both to Oakland, and we are going to go to this hole in the wall called OB Town that has the best Korean fried chicken you will ever put in your mouth.
Super excited for some KFC. That's
real
Korean fried
KFC.
Chicken. It's a real KFC. All right. Dark Soccer, why are you joining us remote tonight? I know we usually love to tape in the same room, but I heard you had a little accident. Are you okay?
My face is broken.
Well,
okay, so
I said I said something out of the ordinary.
Yeah, so I fainted 2 days ago.
Okay, that's scary. I'm a dick for making jokes. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So basically, I was standing. I had gotten up to go pee, and then I went back to get that free standing minute on my Apple Watch, and I got a little dizzy. Next thing I know, 3 minutes have passed. I'm on the ground, and my face hurts. And I apparently fell and hit my face hard on my bedside table. So I busted my lip, have some bone bruises on my chin and my cheekbone. Thankfully, no concussion, or if it was a concussion, it was really minor. I've been, raging headaches for the past couple of days. And so I was just like, I've got a bad headache and I'd rather be at home than be driving a longer distance when my head feels like this. So
yeah, no, totally understandable. So, we love to record in the same room and it's part of what makes our podcast special, but sometimes things are going to happen. And, if you had a, thing where you fell and hurt your head, which by the way, also happened to me, but it was maybe 4 years ago. I had a similar thing. I think I was super dehydrated and I was in a very steamy room. I was basically in the shower kind of enclosed and the fan in there is terrible. And I fainted. It was just a thing out of the blue. And it was, I actually ended up chipping my front tooth. It was one of those things where I had to go to the dentist ASAP because I was freaking out. I was oh my God, I look my tooth is all chipped. So thankfully dentists know how to work miracles and I look fine now, but it's scary.
Well, what happened too is I went and I did go to urgent care to get tested, make sure that everything was okay. And it was a combination of dehydration and possibly anemia. So I'm drinking Pedialyte. It's disgusting, but I'm drinking it and just taking care of myself. So.
Well, what an interesting segue, because one of the first things I want to talk about here at the top of the show is the Dragon Con hype. So it's funny you bring up Pedialyte, because that's a great way to stop a hangover. And there's going to be – yeah, it is important to stay hydrated at Dragon Con. And the reality is there's a lot of – because it's in enclosed hotels throughout the Atlanta area, there's a lot of alcohol consumption. People are just openly – because you can open carry because it's indoors. You know, usually you can't just open carry alcohol out on the street, but this convention is now on the street. So I think that's why it has a reputation for being such a, you know, lots of libations and so forth. But I mean, I'm not making it sound like it's like a drunk party. And if you're choosing to be sober and what have you, you can't have fun. I don't think that's true. I think you can still, I think it was last year. It was probably just last year because there were so many panels that I was doing last year. Like I didn't really want to drink because I had to get up early to do a bunch of panels. So, yeah, I didn't really indulge, and I still had a great Dragon Con. So,
yeah. Hi, Smoosh.
Yeah, Mr. Smoosh is making his presence known here. If he keeps acting up, I'll have to put him in the other room. Don't you know we're trying? I know we're usually here on Sunday, but don't you know we're trying to do a show? If you're gonna yell, at least come over here and do it. I think he smells the KFC that was in here earlier. Anyway. So I do want to say a big hello to anybody that may have discovered this show thanks to Dragon Con, because I know I'm going to be selling the crap out of this show and other stuff that I work on from several panels that I'm doing at Dragon Con. So hello to any new listeners and folks that may have discovered this show through the convention. It's going to be a little different tonight just because we did tape prior. Usually we do tape live with folks in chat along with our show. We're able to do the interaction and all that stuff. We love doing this live. But we wanted to record this week because if we don't record, then we'll miss 2 weeks in a row, and that's a long time to be gone. So it's one thing to miss Labor Day, but we didn't want to miss 2 weeks in a row because I'm leaving really early this year because I'm going to be seeing a buddy of mine in North Carolina and then making the six-hour drive between the two. But it's not like the six-hour drive from here to L.A. where it's just like cows and like dead grass the whole way. Like I think the drive I'm going to be experiencing will be a lot better looking. At least that's my
probably
hope. That's my hope. We'll see. Well, Darsaka, you're from the South. Like, is it going to be a better road trip in that area, you think?
It's going to be tall pine trees the entire way.
I like pine trees. I'm okay with that.
Pine trees are nice.
Yeah, pine trees are
nice. It'll be very, very pretty at the start, and then that'll be all you see.
Well, the nice
thing is... At least that's what it's like in Alabama.
The nice thing is I get to cross more states off my list. I won't be going to Alabama, but I get to cross off North Carolina, never been there, and then we drive through South Carolina on our way to Georgia. So I'll get to cross off the – obviously, I've been to Georgia a million times thanks to Dragon Con, but I'll get to cross off the other two Carolinas. So that'll be good. And then next year, I have Florida that I get to cross off the list because of the cruise we're going on in March with the kids from Starboard Power Coupling. So that'll be fun. So anyway, enough about my life. Let's talk about video games and all that good stuff. We're going to start off tonight with how is your gaming week and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? What have you? I know you had the fall, so maybe not much, but anything to help pass the time maybe?
Sims. Animal Crossing on my phone. The usual.
More Sims, huh? How's your family progressing? Have you killed anyone yet?
I'm actually not playing really any of my families. I only played like one group long enough for them to have a kid because they should have a kid. Because I mean, that's just it was like an old RP character that I made a sim for. And then I right now I'm remodeling all of the in-game sims. So that's really it. Like the goths right now are on the chopping block.
How many mods do you use with the Sims?
I'll tell you right now, and I'm actually going to be adding some more. So if I go into my mods folder, because I am actually at my home computer right now. Oh, that's Elder Scrolls. Oops. Yeah, I'm actually, I'm going to probably be waiting, by the way, to do Final Fantasy 14 until after we split our bills next month. Dan and I are going to be doing that. So right now I have 17,639 installed, and I'm going to be adding a few more.
Wait. You have 17,000 mods for The Sims?
Well, right, because keep in mind, custom content is all considered a mod.
I think they're talking about, like, each individual
piece. Oh, so, like, if it's one shirt, that's a mod.
Exactly.
Oh.
I mean, there are actual game mods.
Okay.
And, like, I'm about to install 4 mods, like, actual game mods. But those are scripts. And scripts go into, like, their own... Like, it's hard for me to track, actually, what scripts I have on there. Just because, you know, they... Goodness, I found some mods in the wrong folder. But they go in, like, a different folder. And I haven't been through that one to see exactly how many I have. But I know, like, I have the, you know, the No Mosaic, you know, so I can have Naked Sims.
Okay, and... yeah, I was going to say, that's the only mod I need, is the get rid of the blurs. Isn't there one that makes them do nastier things, too? I'm almost positive I've seen a mod where, like, they do nastier things.
Possibly. I mean, there's like, animation mods for the earlier ones.
Okay.
I don't know. I read an article on Kotaku earlier this week that showed somebody with a large dildo head, so apparently there are mods out there like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Of course there are.
Well, yeah.
If you can dream it, you can achieve it.
But, I mean, like, you can get scripting mods, and what those are, you know, once your game is patched and everything's running fine, you know, there's only, like, a few things you need to do. And the company, like, EA Maxis, they're all, like, they're super, like, they know exactly what to do. You know, so they're perfectly fine with all of this running. You know, they just aren't responsible for, you know, any of the... shenanigans.
Yeah, any mod, you know, that tries to take your credit card number or shows your children something offensive, it's like, you installed it, you take the responsibility for that. But surely a company like EA has to know, like, modding is part of the reason why some of their games continue to succeed for all this time afterwards, you know? Because go ahead.
I'm sorry. One of the mods that I – actually, it's a family of mods. It's called Don't Wash Dishes Where You Angry Poop.
What?
Because you can wash dishes in any sink. And there's a habit where, like, if your sim is closer to, like, a bathroom sink, then they'll try to wash dishes in that sink.
Oh.
You know?
I thought it was the other way around.
And there's also a don't prepare food where you angry poop.
That's literally
what mod's called.
I thought you were about to say that if they couldn't find the toilet, they would just poop in the sink.
No.
And I was like,
that's another mod.
That's disturbing. Like,
but, you know, one of the things.
How drunk was your sim?
They make outdoor toilets, though. That those outdoor toilets count as a bathroom, but you can place them outside just in nature. They're basically a giant plant.
All right. Can you build, like, in this? I haven't played The Sims really since the first game, but can you build, like, outdoor homes, like tree houses now with porta potties and stuff?
Well, yeah. You always could do that. You know, there's some of the mods, well, not mods, but some of the things that I'll run. Are you can hit, like, control and the close bracket, and it makes things bigger. And control open bracket is to make things smaller. This is on a PC, because my Mac doesn't have a big enough hard drive. But you can make things, like, huge.
Interesting.
Or small. And then, you know, there's another where you can, because normally it doesn't let you put things in certain places, but you can tell certain textures to, not textures, but certain objects to overlap. And then you can, you know, make like plants growing out of your wall and, like, weird stuff.
I guess that's a way you might decorate your house if you, you know, have a lot of money. But I was going to say
I'll put some screenshots up on my Facebook.
I was going to say about the whole modding thing. Like, I'm trying to think, like, the one Sims game I don't think did very well was The Sims Online. Remember when they tried to do The Sims Online? That one didn't do very well, but probably because you couldn't really mod that one because it was always online.
Was that the Facebook one?
Yeah.
No, no. There was, like,
no,
an
that
actual...
was SimSocial.
It was them trying to get on the MMO craze. Like, when everything started breaking through, like, World of Warcraft and EverQuest and all that stuff, they tried to do their own, like, MMO. And it seemed, you know, it did seem like a natural progression, is that you could build, you know, your own Sims house with other people. But apparently the whole thing turned into, I feel like in the early days of OLR, we talked about this. That's how
I'm
long
pretty sure I remember it.
Damn
yeah.
show's been around.
Yeah.
But, like, it just turned into a cesspool of, like, prostitution, drugs, like everything that lawless humanity would turn into.
They built Second Life again.
Yeah, pretty much. They built Second Life in The Sims Online, and that's why I think they
Third Life.
Pulled the plug. Third Life. All right. Darsagra, anything else for your game of the week?
Nah.
All right. Then we'll move on to Loki. Hey, we can hear you typing, by the way, so careful.
Oops.
Loki, how was your game of the week?
I didn't play a thing. That's right.
Wow, you've been really great with your track record on
gaming. I've been
lately.
Playing no games on this gaming podcast. No, I have been working on coding and prepping for this coming week, which...
Okay, it's at least it's like adjacent. You know, you got to code a game to play a game, I guess. So
yeah,
I
so
get
I've been just working on getting stuff ready because I am going to participate in a game jam next week.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so I've been getting ready to do that and... I'm hoping to stream a lot of it, too, so we'll see.
What's the game jam? Is it something you do at your house? You're not going to go to a...
No, not going anywhere. It's for a week, and so I have to work in the middle of that as well. But it's basically, it's a community game jam. It's a bunch of different YouTubers that are putting it on. So, like, some of the other ones I watch for, like, Unity stuff, like Braxy, and I don't remember the other guys putting it on here. So let me just pull this up here real fast. But it's looks like it's pretty cool. It's kind of laid back as far as, you know, what my expectations of it are going to be. It's not like Lunar Dare or something like that. Okay. So yeah, community game jam. It's, itch.io, /jam/CGJ. And it starts on Saturday at noon and goes until August 31st at noon. And yeah, so they have...
That would be a good way to spend the downtime with a week off OLR.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they're going to... what the theme's going to be.
Are you going to let us play whatever you make?
Yeah, I'm gonna release something. Like they have on Chopped, you know, put the damn food on the plate.
Yes,
you got to
yes,
serve them something.
I like it. Yes, put the damn
put the food
on the plate.
Yeah, so,
I like it.
Yeah, it's being put on by, it's organized by Blackthorn Prod, Braxis, Danny, Jabriz, Skylu, and some other folks. So it's like a big community of people that do like game development videos on YouTube.
Is this something we can put on VOG Network? Like some of the, you remember we had that game jam a long time ago, and some of those – they're still there. Some of those winning games are – well, they all won. But the VOG Network, we had some of the games that are playable.
Is it something that you can put there? Maybe. I don't know.
Yes. I mean, those games are there. You have to talk to Bobby about the technical stuff. But yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be hosted probably on itch.io.
All right. Well,
where
that's
you would upload that. But it should be playable
there.
I mean, okay. We can make it available, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I can do it.
All right,
but
if not,
you can watch me fail for a very long time. So.
Awesome. Well, we've been doing that for 17 years.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. So even more.
All right. No,
every failure is a learning opportunity.
That's right. It's a learning opportunity.
It is.
We're rooting for you. This is good. This would be a good thing for your kids to see you do when they're getting into programming. Well, at least Josh is getting into programming.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I may take a couple days off during the week, but you know.
So hey, you earned
more time
it. You deserved it. All right. My game of the week. So I've kind of played a lot. I mean, we're an abbreviated week this week because we're recording a little earlier, but I have still been continuing to play Final Fantasy 14, doing some of the end game stuff. Shane made me do some of the new raids, so I actually played, like, when we live streamed everything. I've been trying to be really good about doing more live streaming on my personal channel at Rob Roberts, so I played some Final Fantasy 14 with Shane the other night. And probably the other game I played that's a little newer, at least new to me, I played No Man's Sky on PC. Because remember, I bought the PC version.
I bought it. I haven't installed it yet, but I did buy it.
You double dipped. Bobby Blackwolf double dipped. Like, everybody's double dipping on No Man's Sky now. It's great.
I didn't. Because
mods.
Not yet.
Because I already had it. Nope, it's not going to happen because it's easier for me to play on my computer than with a controller.
That's, yeah, I kind of just wish I'd bought it on PC the first time. But, I mean, it was...
It took a couple years
to
get
it. Yeah, it was originally a PlayStation 4 game, so, I mean, that wasn't exactly possible. So, but, like, obviously with PC, I can play in 2K mode. I have to really dumb down the graphics, especially if I'm streaming. But, like, it's doable, you know, so that's pretty cool. All right, and Mr. Smoosh is getting up on the soundboard. That's a big no-no. Loki, buy me time, or somebody.
That cat, I swear to God. It just... He's causing all sorts of trouble. All because they didn't share the chicken with you. Too bad. I don't know.
Who does he think he is?
I finally heard back from Discord, by the way.
Going to change all the switches and all that stuff. Oh, because you got locked out of your other account, right?
Yeah, so I have to delete my account and remake it.
Ah, what a pain. All right, well, You're still with us at least here tonight. So No Man's Sky on PC. It's prettier. Although obviously I have to, like, especially if I'm streaming, I have to turn the graphics way down or else, like, my computer's just like, help. But when I'm not streaming, like, it's very lovely to look at. The first planet I started on was some ice planet. Like, it was a really horrible place. But what I did, I rolled straight into Alan's universe. So, like, I joined his game. So it's put me on a planet in the system he was already in. So I started there, and we kind of noticed, and I think Bobby was there because I was streaming it live, and he talked about how some of it is kind of scripted in the beginning. Like, you always, you know, at a certain time get, like, a severe storm that comes through because it's teaching you how to replenish your life supply. You know, and there's certain things that are kind of, like, scripted to happen in the beginning no matter what planet you're on. So it's kind of interesting to see because, like, when Alan came to the planet, he's like, I don't see this stuff because you're being scripted through all this stuff right now. So, yeah. So I guess maybe Alan was saying a lot of that. But then eventually I made my way to the moon of that planet, which was lovely. It was like one of those, like, purple grass planets and very serene. It was very nice. And that's where Alan's base is. So I started a base, like, I couldn't build right near his, but I was able to build, like, on the other side of the mountain from it. So now we have bases right near each other. But it won't let me upload it because it says it's too small. So I have to expand it a little more still, and then I should be able to upload it and – more people, I guess, could visit it if they wanted to. But sadly, I probably won't get a lot more time with No Man's Sky until after I'm back from my trip. But I was, you know, enjoying the experience on PC. It's just getting used to the different controls was the hardest part. Because it's like all these keys, like Q, W, E, R, you know, they're all mapped to different things. And so, like, I'm not...
Oh, I'm just going to play with the controller, so that'll...
Yeah, my brain wasn't used to it. Yeah, I guess I could just plug in my Xbox controller.
Or your PlayStation 4 controller.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I should just play with the controller. It would make it a lot easier. But that's okay. I don't... You know, there is something about using the mouse to aim that I enjoy and all that stuff. So that is nice. So, yeah, that's pretty much been my gaming week. I don't think a lot else to share. Because I talked about VR on No Man's Sky last week, I'm pretty sure. So I don't need to cover that again. So... we will move on with the program. And in our next segment, we're going to do something a little special, a little different here tonight, something we don't usually have as a segment in the show, but maybe we ought to bring it back because we got a lot of great feedback this week. What we wanted to invite was some of your questions and some of your discussion drivers this week on Twitter. So over at our Twitter account, OLR, we asked a question this week. We asked everybody to answer the following. We said, on a special recorded OLR this week, we want to invite your questions for our hosts on gaming, on podcasting, or anything reasonable you might have. So we got quite a few responses. So we have a few questions and discussion topics for tonight. So y'all ready? You ready for Ask Orange Lounge via Twitter?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. First off tonight, our pal Flacco Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Flacco Jones, who I've seen been doing a lot of streaming very late at night. The other night he was playing some Paladins, I think. But hopefully that's all going well for him. So Flacco Jones starts us off saying, I know Loki was having Joy-Con drift. Has he or any of the other hosts taken advantage of Nintendo's free repair for the issue? I sent mine in and they took care of them quickly and at no charge, plus free shipping. So Flacco took advantage of the whole...
I haven't yet, and I want to. I just haven't done it yet. But I need to do both sets, both Joy-Cons. But I'll have to do them one at a time.
And it's one of those things where they're going to be missing for a while they're getting repaired.
Well, that's why
right?
I have two sets. So, like, so I would do one, have it repaired, it comes back, and then do the second one.
But that's less bad because I only have the one set. But I was going to say, I'm not having the problems you guys are having. But admittedly, mine gets less traffic. I don't have the kid factor either, which I'm sure, you know, they tend to, you know, put a little more wear and tear on them. Yeah, so they haven't really been an issue for me yet, but I'm glad Nintendo kind of came around on the program. I think they were kind of forced to, or else they were going to be looking at a class action lawsuit type of thing.
Yeah.
So I think they were kind of put in a corner on that, having to do the warranty thing. Dark Sakura, you haven't had a problem with your Switch at all, right? So you probably haven't taken advantage of this either, right?
Honestly, it's our Pro Controller that had more problem. It's got some input lag, and it's, I think, just our model.
Interesting. So the Pro Controller having issues, but
it's just input lag, and it had a little bit of drift on it too, but I haven't seen anything going on for the Pro Controller, so we have nothing to take advantage of.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, I don't think that's part of the program yet. Who knows if there's enough of those problems out there, who knows what'll happen. Well, Dark Soccer, I bet this next question will be up your alley. So our next tweet tonight is from Redertainment, who says, I have a Sega Saturn and one game missed. I've been thinking of getting another game. What should I keep my eye out for?
What shouldn't you keep your eye out for? Is it a U.S.? It's a U.S. one, right?
It was not specified, so we're going to assume a U.S. one.
Okay, so U.S. games. Of course, if you're into fighting games, any of the Street Fighter, King of Fighters, you know, those are all... Well, actually, the King of Fighters games require the RAM cartridge. So I would say... basically like Street Fighter Alpha 2, the first Street Fighter Alpha. If you can get any of like the Sega Ages stuff, those are pretty good. There weren't too many of them that came out in the US. Of course, you want to have Knights. You want to have, I'm trying to think what else is like. I'd have
Panzer
to go look
Dragons,
at the vault now.
Or Panzer Dragon Zui.
Panzer Dragoon Saga, actually, it's expensive, but absolutely worth it. We got ours, like, really cheap, too. But, yeah, the Panzer Dragoon games are worth it. I mean, they're not, like, my absolute favorites, but they're good games.
Is the Sega Saturn hard to mod to play import games if he wanted
to
try to
ask, you'll have to ask your husband about that, because I've never done it.
Oh, really? Oh, I just assumed you and Dan were such a Sega household. I didn't even know Alan modded Sega Saturns. What?
I think we had his modded Sega Saturn for like a hot minute.
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me though. Alan was a Sega guy for a long time, so it doesn't like surprise me, but it's just kind of funny. I would have thought that you and Dan would have had the lock on that. Go ahead.
We had converter cartridges.
Okay.
So that's what we did.
Gotcha. No, and the Saturn was one of those platforms I kind of missed out on. Like, I didn't catch up with Sega really till like the Dreamcast. So all my like Sega memories are with that. So I don't have a lot to recommend. I would have said the big stuff like Knights as well.
This was back in the days when I used to rent consoles from Blockbuster because I didn't buy a Sega Saturn until much later. But I used to rent it with Astal. That was another one of the games I liked, and Clockwork Knight.
Astal was pretty good, but awfully slow.
Yeah, but it's pretty. And it had great music.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I find that interesting that of all the games in the world for the Sega Saturn, Redertainment has missed. But I'm going to assume maybe it was like included or like a really good deal, because he doesn't say where the Sega Saturn came from, like if it was given to him or if he found it at like a flea market garage sale type of thing or what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just interesting that of all the games, I'm not knocking Myst. Myst isn't a bad game, but I don't associate Myst with the Saturn nearly as much as I do like old MS-DOS PC because I feel like Myst was only ported to like the Saturn and all those consoles because of how it was performing on the PC, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's move on. Now we're getting into some deeper questions, too. This is good. So Elliot_Bentley sent us a tweet saying, what games have changed the way you think of a certain genre? It's a really good question. What games have changed the way you think of a certain genre? And even though I know we're not live tonight, I'm going to look through chat when this is all done. So I would be very curious because this is one I could see a lot of different answers for. Maybe we'll go back and read some of your answers next week. But anyway, or in 2 weeks when we come back. But here's an example. So Elliot B continues his tweet here. Here's an example. Since playing Breath of the Wild, I'm hyper aware of the way many open world games rely on maps filled with icons and arrows pointing directly to your next destination. So what games have changed the way you think of a certain genre? So he's basically saying that, like, because of the Breath of the Wild, like, oh, it made me realize, like, all these open world games kind of have some of these, like, kind of base elements that are very similar. So what game changed the way you think of a certain genre?
None, really. I mean, I don't really look at games per genre, really. I look at... every game to me is a different and unique experience. So I wouldn't say that anything's changed the way I think about it, because I go into every game as their own experience. That's just how I am.
That's fair. But, like, okay, so, like, an answer that comes to my mind is a game that we've stanned forever on Orange Lounge Radio, which I bet a lot of you guys maybe haven't played yet, but you need to go find a way to play this game, even if illegally. Like, I'm just going to be real. Find the ROM and download it, because if we've been robbed of this game for all these years, like, they're never going to put it out for you to get legally, so you should just get it illegally at this point. Sorry, not sorry. And that is The Guardian Legend, because my answer is, like, The Guardian Legend, because of the way it fused, like, shooter and, like, overworld action, like the Zelda kind of element. Like, I would say, like, The Guardian Legend really made me rethink the shooter genre, because it was, like, it added this much deeper layer to it, where that the adventuring that you were doing around the world was affecting, you know, what you did in the shooty part, you know? And, like, it was a different type of shooter, too. Like, I liked the way the two sides influenced each other. And I think those type of mishmash genre games are going to always be the ones that come to my mind. Because, you know, another one from back in the day, you ready for another obscure NES title? This was another genre-fusing game. And it fused, again, like your Zelda type of overworld with a more traditional RPG. And that is Magic of Scheherazade. I don't know if you've ever played – have you ever played Magic of Scheherazade?
Like, briefly.
Yeah, it's, you know, it. Some of it, it's a little clunky in parts, because I think it's very ambitious what they were trying to do with that game. And I think that game in some ways makes you rethink RPGs. I don't know. I could probably come up with more. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to this.
Grand Theft Auto 5 and the amount of detail that developers can put into a game, like the ridiculous amount of details that they have in there, like with pant legs getting wet up to this point where they get into the water, or like just all sorts of weird stuff, flip-flops flopping, and just the animals, and there's all sorts of like crazy details that are in that.
So kind of like environmental.
Yeah,
the environmental impact, not like climate change type of discussion, but more like the environment, you know, physics and awareness with an action game. Which is interesting, because you could also think like Crackdown, where you kind of take traditional physics and kind of turn it on its head a little bit.
Yes.
In a way, I think Crackdown is kind of a genre-bending game a little bit.
A little bit.
Because it took the Grand Theft Auto-esque type of open-world mechanic, but made it like, but what if you had anti-gravity boots type of things? What if, you know, you could do all these different things? Or you could take the open-world Grand Theft Auto type genre and what they did with, like, Driver 3 and how your game is so fucking buggy, it just ignores a lot of the rules.
I love Driver 3 because it's so terrible. It was fun.
Are there other games maybe in that category? Like, a game that was so fucking bad, it made you kind of rethink the genre a little bit, but it's, like, kind of fun in a charming way.
So bad.
Spice World and Music Games.
Oh, God.
That's right. On the PlayStation 1, let's put another girl through her paces. Spice World on PlayStation.
You know, that's totally not
something that a pimp would say.
I was thinking in terms of open world, though, going back to that. I mean, Minecraft was pretty crazy.
Oh, good call.
When it was,
like,
new.
Good call. Like a game that's open world, but it's your world.
Yeah.
That's definitely genre defined or like genre bending for sure.
But I'm not saying that anything really, like, it's just that I don't look at the impact like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's why I kind of like a question like that, because it does make us kind of take a step back and go, huh, I wonder what game has made me kind of...
Or even like No Man's Sky, like how everything is procedural is kind of ridiculous.
That's another different type of like open world type of thing, where what if the world is just completely generated?
Or Borderlands with the billions of guns that they have.
You know what though would be in a similar bucket with No Man's Sky would be Elder Scrolls 2. Was that the one that had the procedurally generated, like all the caves and everything? Like they didn't go in there and design it. Everything was like generated, basically, because the world was so freaking huge. I think it was two. It was either two or three. I don't think it was Morrowind though. I think it was the second game. I think it was, the first one's Arena, the second one's Blades, right? I think it was that one. So anyway, food for thought. Anyway, I'm excited to see chat's answers on that too, and maybe some more tweets on that. But great question. Okay, so our next tweet, as we get to some more listener questions tonight for our show, comes from SSJ100 Matt. Who says it's a three-part question. You ready? So here we go. Part one. Besides wearing pants, what has been the biggest challenge and adjustment you've all had to make now that the show has a video aspect to it?
Kidding.
We all wore pants before because we were all in the same room. Although
sometimes I wore a skirt.
I was gonna say sometimes I'd be lazy and wear gym shorts. You know, and like I wouldn't bother to do my hair or wear a hat. I just would look like shit because I'm like, well, nobody's going to see me but Loki and Dark Sakura, and they've known me forever. They've seen me at my absolute worst, so whatever. Like you do think about that a little bit. I do have to think a little bit about like what I'm going to wear, like what's going to be like on camera.
Bit.
And even to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm wearing this Cruel Intentions shirt that I got at Target on the stream tonight, and I'm like, I think I wore this on the show like 3 weeks ago, and I kind of like didn't want to repeat it, but I was like, at the same time, it's like, I kind of get into that mode where it's like, oh, I don't necessarily want to repeat outfits either, but like, it's
just,
you don't buy shirts to wear them once and throw them away. Like we don't live that kind of lifestyle.
It's hard to decide where to look because I have to look at the camera, talk to the audience, look at Rob. Yeah. It's like,
That is huge. That is the biggest challenge, because I remember after the first episode, the first piece of feedback I got from a friend was that like, you guys don't even look at each other when you're doing the show. And I'm like, no, we really don't. Like, because when it's a radio show, you don't see that. And he's like, you guys are like always buried in your computers. Like, and I'm like, well, we're pulling up the next story and you know, whatever. He's like, you're on your phone half the time. I'm like, well, I'm multitasking.
Well, the Pokemon are going to catch themselves, so, you know.
So I would say that has been a big change, is that we have to be aware, you know. I mean, we said in the very beginning, we're still doing an audio podcast. It's just the delivery method is different, so we're not going to, like, turn it upside down for Twitch. We're not suddenly doing Orange Lounge video. It is still Orange Lounge Radio, but certainly I don't want it to like look terrible. So I think, you know, some of that feedback was still very right on, is that, okay, I need to not be on my phone unless it's like, you know, unless I'm bringing up tweets to talk about on air, or, you know, I need to try to like actually look at Loki or Dark Sakura when she's here talking, or the camera, you know, instead of like looking, you know, or like taking a nap, or like, I'm just going to rest my eyes while Loki does the next story. Like I can't really do that anymore, you know? So I'd say that was a big change. Anything for you, Dark Sakura?
No.
But you also, I mean, you tend to sit off cam too.
Yeah. So it's not really super crazy for me. I'm just doing my huge.
Yep. Number two, what has been your favorite part about adding video to the show?
I couldn't say. I'll be honest, I kind of don't feel one way or another about it.
That's fair.
It's the, obviously the pre-show things that we have are hilarious.
Oh, the little bumpers that the little bumpers, Jason, yes. And I do. Those are fun to do. It's a little extra thing. I would say, and you know, when it's utilized, it's wonderful. It's not, you know, I don't expect everything on this show is going to get clipped, but I love the clip thing. Like when we do have those random things that happen where like, let's say Mr. Schmush makes an appearance on cam or something and people, you know, want to see that. So the clip happens. But then the nice thing about the clipping is that then people who, let's say they do only listen to the audio podcast, but they heard that this funny thing was happening, somebody probably mm-hmm. clipped it. And so they can go on to the Twitch channel. You know, even though you have to be a subscriber to see the full video archive, you don't have – the clips are free. So when people do clip things, you can just watch those whenever. So I think for me that's been my favorite part is the clip. I think that's more of a nature of moving to Twitch specifically because, like, you can't clip on Mixer or YouTube. So then it is maybe video, but that's the best answer I got for your question. Mm-hmm. Number three, what video improvements – would you like to make or see happen?
More flashy effects.
I am going to make it a goal that when we come back from Dragon Con, we're going to have some transitional bumpers. Because you guys will probably notice, like, our music has been missing for a long time, right? Like, when we do the classic game of the week, we don't get the little do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like the DDR OHA stuff music that we were using forever. We don't have that anymore. But I actually do want to bring those back with video bumpers. So I'm trying to teach myself a new program to do those types of, like, animated bumpers. And hopefully those will come back soon. But don't hold me to it. But it's a goal for after Dragon Con.
And maybe multiple camera angles. And only because there was it that one Twitch streamer on Twitter that we saw.
Oh, God. She's so funny. Oh, my God. What is her name? I followed her because when she reads these guys – because trash bags will come into her chat and say that kind of dumb shit that, you know, mouth breathers will say to girl streamers, and she will drag them through the mud.
It's pretty hilarious.
She uses her multiple camera angles to do it. Paladin Amber. Shout out to Paladin Amber. She doesn't need a shout out from us. She's got 354 people watching her stream playing Minecraft right now. She probably doesn't need our help, but I think she is hilarious. And it's because of clips that I got to. Yeah. So yeah, the multiple camera angle stuff, that would be great. For me, like, the number one thing I want to do, I want to change the whole layout. Like we kind of took our old radio layout and just kind of made some small adjustments to make it work for video. There is a very good chance in the next year or so that the studio is going to move again. Alan and I are looking at potentially moving again. And next time, the next space will be designed with video in mind. And I think that will go a long way in how this show is presented.
And someday in the far future, we will have an orange lounge.
And actually, yes, maybe after all that time, I'll get an orange cover. For
an orange cover. Yeah, there you go.
Have our freaking orange lounge. Dark Soccer, I know you're not as invested in the video part of it, but do you have something that you think is an improvement you'd like to see happen?
No, not really. I mean, so far things are pretty good. I mean, I like the creative way things have been going. I think it's actually pretty fun. So. And then I get to randomly just put stuff up on the camera and do randomly, you know?
Yeah, I think all of us had some apprehensions in one way or another about the change because, you know, change is scary. Shoutcast was comfortable, you know, it was, and I'm sure for the listeners too, like, it's been a change. But, like, you know, now that we're doing it, I am kind of kicking myself a little bit going, God, we should have done it like 3 years sooner, you know? We could have been more on the cutting edge of it. But it is what it is. Like, no regrets. Mm-hmm. You know, when all is said and done. The other thing I just want to say about video improvements, there's not enough time to produce more B-roll, more user created or out in the field created segments. Admittedly, I've been slacking on that a little bit. Like, I've been trying to do some break segments, but.
Well, maybe if I record a ton of footage this week, I can clip a best of thing together. Been still trying to do the laser tag stuff, but it's hard to do laser tag footage because the footage is okay. I know now not to talk over it when I'm recording, but their music is so goddamn loud. And it's just like...
All audio can be stripped and replaced, though. It's very easy to strip out
but
audio.
But then you can't hear the pew-pew and the killing. I guess I gotta record that and then dub it back in.
And it should actually just be you going, pew-pew. Laser beams, pew-pew. All right. Bobby followed up SJ100 Matt's question, just wanting to chime in, saying, by the way, we're going to address some of these questions at our Dragon Con panel Saturday at 2:30 because it's about taking your audio podcast and moving it to video. Like, we actually have a panel about this thing that we've done here at Vogue Network, which is really cool. So that's going to be Saturday at 2:30 p.m., and that is going to be live streamed on Twitch at DC Digital Media.
Step one in your taking your audio podcast into video is
– put the cat in jail.
Isolate the cat in a different part of the house.
Swear to God. That's where he's about to go in a minute. All right. Let's go to another tweet here. Dark Tetsuya with another tweet saying, going back on the President Cat thing from last week for a bit, did you know apparently Jorudan, the company that was making it, got out of the game industry some time ago? So we may have to start hashtag save President Cat. What do you guys think? So Jorudan got out of the game industry. Well, if the game sold as bad as everybody said it did, I'm surprised they didn't get out of the game industry a long
time ago. Maybe we could purchase the IP for President Cat.
Holy shit, that's the best idea. Oh my God. Now we have something we can spend all this bitty money on, right, Bobby? Can we spend all the subscription money on getting the rights to President Cat?
You know what, though? I mean, think about it. If we did do that, and then we get our crack team of game designers who listen to us, all, what, three of them? And
no, I would buy the rights to President. I would buy the rights to President Cat and give them to YYR as a gift.
I was actually sort of thinking about doing like actual legit marketing on it.
They have produced so many hamster games; it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Anything that's like actually been released in the States, or like they all Japanese games?
Well, they did the SNES version of Alien vs. Predator. Game Boy Color, they had Bubble Bobble Classic and Chase HQ, Secret Police.
So there's some stuff they do that come up.
There's a Yogi Bear game.
Oh, woohoo. Hey, oh, boo, boo.
And so many Hamster Club games. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They also did Pets Hamster's Life 2, because obviously they're really, you know, they're good at making hamster games. That's what we've established here.
And to be fair, actually, as much as we're joking about buying the rights to President Cat, I actually don't think the rights were with that gaming company. I think wasn't the character of Rena like a comic or something, like something that existed on a TV parody? Like, I feel like that cat character actually existed somewhere else.
It's a mascot of a blog named Nico Punch.
Okay, so
Nico Punch.
I was kind of right. I just didn't know it was a blog. All right.
Well, we just license it from the blog then.
Fair enough. I bet if we ask that guy from...
The blog is gone, so...
I bet if we ask that guy very nicely from the Oa Rock Studios that made Cat President, we could maybe buy his rights to Cat President. Probably a lot cheaper. I don't
know. Yeah, the Nako Punch blog is gone. Okay, apparently, well, they've disbanded after...
Well, then maybe the rights are available. Stay tuned. All right, one more question.
We'll just make our own President Cat. You know what?
That's right. I know. It's not... Technically... We made President Cat. That game had a Japanese name that meant like boss cat. We made President Cat. So therefore, thusly, and I can just take a picture of Mr. Smush with a President Cat hat on, like an Abe Lincoln hat, and that can be President Cat.
Yeah, but Midna would be Queen Cat.
Well, Midna can be Secretary of Milk.
No, she's the queen. She's not nobody's secretary because she's a girl cat.
No, I was thinking Secretary of State like Hillary Clinton. Come on. All right. Anyway, going on to our last tweet from Daniel K. It's D_Annual K. I actually know Daniel K, or as I call him on this show, the other DK. So DK is tweeting us tonight saying, hi. Hello. What makes gaming so exciting for y'all? I think that's a very blunt, direct, good question to remind us why we do this podcast. What makes gaming exciting?
Because it's been a part of my entire life, and it would feel weird not having it there. Be like missing a leg.
What do you think, Darsako? Yeah. What makes gaming exciting for you?
When I get a really good story, but it also has, things in the world that make it unique and special, like, you know, for example, having culture or its own conlang, or when they put thought into the sociology in the game. Okay. So it's the effort into the world. When they build a world that excites me, then I really want to learn everything I can about it.
You know, I could go all the way back with an answer to this to when I was like first gaming on the Atari 2600. And part of what always drew me to video games was the fact that I was controlling what was on the television. you know, usually, you know, you would be watching cable, you'd be watching things that somebody else made and is sending to your TV. But when I played Atari 2600 for the first time and was playing a game like Kaboom, I was in control of those buckets trying to catch the bombs that were dropping, mm-hmm. you know, and I was the one that would fail or succeed and have that kind of sense of accomplishment. And so I think it's kind of like both those things. I think it's like being able to feel like you are part of the art. You know, if we're to say that video games are art, which I do fully believe they are, you know, movies mm-hmm. are art, paintings are art, books are art. But how often do you get to be a part of those? I mean, I know there's always kind of like these kind of interesting genre bending things like choose your own adventure books. Let's say they let you be a part of it. Right. But for the most part, you don't really get to be in those.
Yeah.
But with a video game and gaming, you get to be a part of that. You're in control. You're the one that's going to determine success or failure, whether that's a very simple, easy, repetitive type of Atari 2600 old school game like Kaboom or something like that, or to something new and modern and very story driven like Mass Effect. You know, ultimately, mm-hmm. you're in the control of the choices and you're going to determine what happens to the galaxy in a game like that. Or even something very open world like Minecraft. If you want to build a town full of houses shaped like penises, that is your prerogative. That's your call. You could do whatever you want. And so I think it's kind of like those things.
Yeah.
The fact that you become part of the art, I think, is what makes gaming exciting for me. We have a bonus question from the other DK.
All right.
Bonus question. What out there, in quotey fingers, what out there gaming concept do you think will be released in the near future? For example, flying cars or something completely outlandish. What out there gaming concept do you think will be released in the near future? Well, where my brain goes right off the bat is like HUDs, user display, right? Like I almost feel like GPS and like navigation on something like Google Maps or Apple Maps or something, like GPS navigation in some ways I feel like is inspired by like those genre of open world games where like the arrow points to your next destination. Like I kind of feel like GPS is kind of that. So my answer kind of takes that a step further, and some of those other things that we do in video games with like, you know, and already like, you know, if you drive a very modern car like a Tesla or something, like I feel like a lot of the way those navigate is like things that you've seen in gaming in a way.
Yeah, it's like you were saying, like AR stuff basically.
Ooh.
Is kind of what we'll see, all sorts of weird implementations of that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they've already tried to do like some sort of AR like first person shooter games where they have like, you know, this weird ass laser gun, like almost like laser tag, but with like your phone strapped to it, which, that's probably pretty lame. But like, I can imagine later on, like it, actually getting a good AR system where it just works seamlessly wherever you go, then that could be pretty cool.
I think you're right on the money with like AR. Like right now, we think of AR like being used in things like Pokemon Go. You know,
it's
where
very
it's like,
basic.
Yeah,
still,
it is. It is very basic, but I could see that AR. Like, imagine this. Now, maybe AR in the future. Like, let's say you're having trouble building IKEA furniture. Like, AR could, like, look at what you've built and show you the next piece and where it goes.
It just says no.
And, yes.
No.
Has that little cartoon.
This is all wrong. All of this
that,
is wrong.
That little cartoon character with the X. But you know what I mean? Like that type of – and I think we've seen that already, like, some very rudimentary versions of that with, like, placing – pretend furniture in a home to pretend what your house might look like if you lived in it and that type of thing. So I think some of those AR gaming concepts, especially when it comes to your mobile phone and through your phone, I think you're right on the money. I think that is like a very valid, like realistic answer to this question. That's the type of stuff we're seeing in gaming now that I bet will show up more and more in the real world, that AR and being able to, you know, pretend that things are there and help walk you through those types of things, I think is going to continue to grow and be huge. Jamie, I don't want to leave you out of an answer, though. What kind of like out there concept from gaming do you think will be a technology we all use in our daily lives?
I'm thinking, I mean, this might sound stupid, but we've been talking about like the whole holodeck thing. And, you know, they already have those holographic keyboards. Could you imagine like having sort of like a holopad or something that would bring up things like interactive displays and, you know, kind of like almost like having your Wii U screen in hand.
Yeah.
but instead you have like a holographic HUD or a maybe something that uses AR on your phone.
Or haptics would be another thing.
Active game.
No, I know we always joke that like with each generation of gaming we're getting one step closer to the holodeck, but it's true, right? And especially now that things like VR and AR are becoming more and more, like, you know, sure, you still have to put on this giant headset to really truly experience, you know, VR and
but
stuff.
Like, but like I remember like we were like thinking about that like in the 90s and it's like, oh, that's kinda cool and everything, but like it'll never happen, you know, and now it's just like kinda
well, and then that technology is gonna get more and more light, like you know, VHS tapes were bulky and now everything is like digital. And so, you know, there's going to come a time when that technology is not so bulky and things like, I know Google Glass did not do so well. Everybody always joked about glass holes and things like that. But I think there is going to come a time when like you're wearing glasses and the glasses.
They already have it. AR. There's North, which is a new, there's like $600 glasses. They were actually selling them last weekend at Intel. They have their pop-up shop, but they have like two in the one in the United States and one in Canada. But like they're $600 glasses, but all they do is like they show like notifications on your glasses, but it's like projected on there and you can see like everything. And I wanted it. It's complete garbage. Like for $600, like I don't need to be spending that, but it's neat and I want it. So yeah,
and you know it's funny is that our pal Bobby Blackwolf is doing that panel. So Bobby got on three tracks this year. We were all excited last year when we were on two tracks, digital media and video games. Dude, Bobby got on a third. He's on the Star Trek track this year because they actually do a panel every year that's like, update, how much closer is the holodeck to being a reality?
Oh.
And he's yes. On because you know he does a lot with VR, not just as a hobbyist. So he's on that panel this year, and I'm excited to check it out personally. And it's a bummer you don't go to Dragon Con Dark Soccer, because I bet you'd get a kick out of that panel too.
Want to pay for my ticket?
Well, I'm not that rich, sadly. I didn't win $1 million playing Survivor, unfortunately. I got a blanket, so I don't have a lot of money to share. All right. Anyway. All right. Well, those were some great questions. Thank you guys so much. I feel like we might have to incorporate Twitter questions more often into the show, just because we get a lot of good stuff on there. So
no, we haven't played any games recently on the show.
I know we haven't, because I think ever since we switched to video, we kind of left those by the wayside. Yeah. But I think there was talk about using Twitch extensions to bring some of that functionality back. I don't want to say too much because I don't know what – I don't remember what Bobby told me he can and can't do. But they are things we're thinking about. Yeah, we haven't done any of the games in a while. We need to bring some of the game shows back. So anyway, great questions. Yay. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Every week, Dark Sakura jumps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should put your Google Glass down and check out this. You have to boot this in MS-DOS. You're going to type C:\. Then you're going to type CD. All right, Dark Sakura. And I'm actually being very literal because I know what she picked for tonight. So that is the type of way you would have to boot this game, right, Dark Sakura? What did you pick tonight for the classic game of the week?
I picked Jazz Jackrabbit. Developed and published by Epic Mega Games. It came out in 1994. It came out for PCs operating DOS. Later on, there were Mac and Windows versions. That's 1995 and 1996 they came out. So this would be like Windows 3.1 or 1.1 if you were a networker. Ooh. Or Windows 95 if you were... could afford the newest operating system at the time. But yeah, at any rate, the game is set in the world based on the tortoise and the hare. So, but it has the hatred between the tortoises and the hares have still gone on for 3,000 years. There's an evil tortoise named Devon Shell who started conquering planets and doing just general evil things. And one of the planets named Caratus had a peaceful hare kingdom and then was, you know, eventually, you know, was able to starve off the tortoises attacking, and then they kidnapped their princess. So, of course, because we have the female character only exists to serve as the protagonist. So anyway, we have Jazz Jackrabbit, who has to go rescue the princess. And he has a blue gun that he goes around shooting things. He wears a red bandana because it was the 90s and that's edgy. He's also bright green. And so basically it is platforming. You basically go around jumping on shit. You can shoot shit. You can run fast. Jump higher the longer that you run. Kind of Sonic-y. Yeah. But
in no way there's inspiration from Sonic in this.
Funny you mentioned that. It was actually inspired by Zool for the Amiga. But, you know, no one has original ideas since, you know, 1982 anyway. So at any rate, you've got, like, you can get a hoverboard and you can get, like, a force field and a sidekick bird and different speeds up and invincibilities, extra lives, all kinds of stuff like that. You can get TNT, get big containers of ammo, but it has, like, no abysses, like, no holes, so you just keep going. You can't die by falling. So as it goes, though, the game's divided into 6 episodes, and each episode has 3 planets or worlds, and every planet has 2 levels. Sometimes they have an additional secret level, and then the final level of every episode has a boss fight. And I think it's, like, unlimited continues, I think? It's been an age since I've played it. But at any rate, it was... you know, inspired by the game Zool for the Amiga, and it was driven by the success of other classics like Sonic the Hedgehog and the Mega Man series that kept it going on. And it was, though, considered to be, they thought that it was a pastiche, which is a type of visual reference, one that celebrates Sonic the Hedgehog, but it wasn't quite, you know, that really wasn't what it was. It was more like it was derived from Zool. It also had interactive music called Cyber Sound Music System. It did get a CD version that had the original 6 episodes and 3 additional ones called the Lost Episodes. And then it had an episode with Jazz as a lizard. And then there was a shareware edition that had just a special 3-level themed episode called Holiday Hair. This was from Jazz Jackrabbit CD. And then there were other, like, shareware holiday versions. And of course, then in 1988, there was a sequel and a reboot on Game Boy Advance. And then a Kickstarter done by one of the co-creators, Cliff Bleszinski, who actually was later on one of the forces in Epic Games' Unreal and Gears of War. So we have some tied into current things. And of course you can get this on, you know, on other, like, I think it's on GOG and other stuff, so you can still get the game today.
So go maybe play it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'll be not honest, like, I was into it for a hot minute when it was, like, new. But at the time, I wasn't really so much a fan of playing games on the PC, you know? Like, my MMO was Gemstone. You know, I would play, like, the point and clicks. Hmm. But an action game like that, it wasn't really my bottle of vodka.
All right. Well, there it is anyway, your classic game of the week. And it's one I play. I probably play Jill of the Jungle more, but I still enjoyed some Jazz Jackrabbit, that's for sure. So there
well,
it is.
I mean, go play it. You know, learn some of the roots of your games. You know, well, it's one of those niche appreciation type games that had big appreciation in its niche.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, and, you know, again, because I don't want to make it sound like we're negative on this game. Not whatsoever, because, like, this game, I think you didn't really have a lot of, like, platformers on the PC. You didn't think of, like, platforming games. Like, this was the type of game you would expect to see on a Super Nintendo, but instead you got to play it on your PC. And that wasn't very common, and I think that's something very important to realize about, you know, the 90s when this was out, is that seeing these type of platforming games on the PC, especially as well-rounded as this, not super common. So
it was
really
one of the first
like
of its kind.
Yeah, you were playing something like a Super Nintendo game, but on your PC, and that was pretty rad. And also, you know, there's many people now that think Epic is just the Fortnite company, but in reality, they've had a huge history in gaming.
Yeah.
And
they've been
shareware.
Around for a while.
That's right, and shareware. That's also very important. So there it is, for several reasons, your classic game of the week, Jazz Jackrabbit.
Surprised they haven't didn't they do like an HD remaster of it or something? But I'm surprised they haven't like done a sequel or anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
That was like a thing from the Kickstarter.
I feel like there was like a mobile thing or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Not the same. All right. We need to catch up on some news. So we're only, you know, when we're taping this, we're only partway through the week. So we may not get everything. There may still be some big news that comes up that we don't get to on Sunday. But there have been quite a few headlines to cover nonetheless. So let's start talking about some headlines.
So, of course, this week we had Gamescom. And so there's been lots of announcements for that. They had this big open night live ceremony thing hosted by Jeff Keighley. And with that, they showed off a bunch of different trailers for stuff. So some of the things covered there, of course, they talked a little bit about Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is having an open alpha that starts on, well, it would have started on Friday, August 23rd. And then they announced a sequel to Kerbal Space Program. So that's coming in 2020, the consoles and PC. There's a game, Humankind, by Sega.
Was that big AAA game or whatever that they were teasing last week, right?
Yeah, some simulation game of human history. That's coming in 2020.
I guess that's what makes it AAA, because it's all of history in one game.
Little Nightmares 2 was something that they announced in 2020 as well. THQ Nordic is rebooting Comanche. So they're doing – it's a helicopter action game, and that's
going to
be coming
series out.
Need for Speed Heat. They've got the Heat Studio that you can download. It's a mobile app that you can customize cars because they want you to really buy those skins when it comes out. Match at the Gathering Arena should be coming. It's a semi-exclusive to the Epic Games Store. Iron Harvest is releasing on September 1st, 2020. This game called Disintegration looks pretty awesome. They showed that off.
Not to be confused with a great Cure album.
No. And then, of course, let's see what else. And then there was this game called Erica, an interactive thriller.
Oh, yeah, because I think Erica they announced some time ago, and then it was like that was like their whole like it's out now.
It's a Playlink game.
Yeah,
you can use your phones with that. And that's available now for $10 on PlayStation 4. And then, of course, last but not least, of course, because Jeff Keighley's involved, you knew there was another Death Stranding trailer coming, and they had a brand new trailer showing off some new characters, including Jeff Keighley is actually in the game, not voiced by him, which is awfully weird, though. And then
instead, they got Gilbert Gottfried.
No. And then they have, was it the one character, Mama, that they showed off that's all sorts of strange.
Okay.
You know, she's breastfeeding a ghost baby.
I didn't see the new trailer. Yeah, I'm kind of all like all my change for Death Stranding hype has been spent. That doesn't mean I don't like want to check out the game or anything. I'm actually doing the game a favor by holding off on the hype.
Yes.
So that when it comes out, I can just play the fucking game.
Exactly.
That's,
it looks interesting.
To be clear, I'm not being a hater. I'm actually doing the game a favor. Like, I'm worried the more and more we hype this shit up, the more and more we're setting ourselves up for a No Man's Sky type of situation. So I'm just going to take the game for what it is when it comes out.
And then, of course, Microsoft had their own Inside Xbox around the same time, so they talked a lot of stuff, including Devil May Cry 5 is coming to Xbox Game Pass.
Cool.
Stellaris Console Edition. Age of Empires Definitive Edition will be available on the PC Games Pass. Ape Out and Kingdom Come Deliverance will be coming August 22nd, which is today. And Bard's Tale 4 Director's Cut will be coming on the 27th. Blair Witch is getting added to Games Pass on console and PC. And
I have Game Pass, so I might have to check that out.
And that's on August 30th. Humans Fall Flat will be getting
not too scary.
A free level on PC and Xbox One. They announced Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition will be coming November 14th. And it adds better AI, 4K graphics, and more improvements. Gears Pop actually came out today on iOS, Android, and Windows 10. And Gears, let's see, they said that...
Keyboard noises, Jamie, just so you know.
They showed off something for NBA 2K20's career mode, which it has, I guess, Idris Elba and,
oh, yeah,
and Rosario
that.
Dawson.
That's pretty cool. Like, some big name talent for a sports game. That's pretty rad.
Yeah. Ghost War, which is a new multiplayer mode for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint, is something else they showed off. And PUBG's getting cross-platform play with PlayStation 4 in an update in October.
Oh, wow.
New Xbox One controller designs, including one that looks like camouflage and one they call Sports Blue.
It's a pretty blue, though.
It is.
I don't know why it's sports, but it's a pretty color.
They announced that they're going to be holding a fan event called X019 the weekend of November 14th in London. And they're going to have some more announcements around then. Maybe Xbox, whatever the next Xbox is.
Seems a little soon for that. I don't know why you'd announce that just before the shopping season. Like, I feel like that's a
chance
to recap everything that's going to be available for the holiday. And then next year we talk about Scarlet.
Metro Exodus is getting two kernels DLC coming out. Well, they already came out by now, August 20th. And they showed off Gears of War 5 Horde mode.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Now, here's something quite ironic. So last week we talked about how Minecraft is not getting the ultra awesome super graphics pack on consoles.
Right.
And then right the very next day, NVIDIA's like, oh, but wait, it's coming to PC because they have ray tracing support now announced if you have an RTX, a GTX. A GeForce RTX card.
Those are pretty high-end video cards, though, aren't they?
Yeah, so they have the RTX, I think, 20... I don't know if the 2060 supports it, but the 2070, 2080...
Is that like a mod, or is that like an officially supported thing?
It's an officially supported thing.
Oh, huh, interesting.
So it's going to... I don't know if this is the Windows 10 version of this, but it is showing off like some of the...
Yeah, it looks like the water effects are pretty crazy.
Yeah, so it looks cool, and it is something that's kind of, you know, officially... out there. So I mean, I don't have a card to take advantage of that because I have a laptop, but
it's about time for me to upgrade, so I'm thinking about it.
It is pretty.
Yeah, so. I think it might be a holiday gift to myself, is to get myself one of those fancy cards.
And then GameStop has laid off over 100 people, so apparently they also laid off half the staff for Game Informer, which I gotta be honest, I get Game Informer every month and I like thumb through it really quick and it goes in the trash. So I mean, that sucks. It sucks that they, you know, people's jobs are being gone, but I kind of understand. Yeah. At least the press the print magazine, I understand. Yeah. That it's kind of
print magazine's a harder and harder thing to push these days. It's sad.
Yeah. Because it's just a lot of the news that we get out of there, it's just like it's old by the time you get it.
I think it's getting harder and harder for them to get exclusive news, which was kind of one thing that was keeping them going, because GameStop is starting to lose more and more of a foothold on the game sales market as more goes digital. You know, the Walmarts and Targets of the world keep selling games. And, you know, so it's GameStop as a company, we've been saying this for years, has kind of been in trouble. You know, obviously, I think they're going to pivot a little bit from just selling video games, and that you're already seeing that they sell more like gaming memorabilia, nerd stuff, shirts, things like that. But either they're going to continue to pivot that way, or they're going to.
But you know
under.
What? The thing that sucks the most about like that idea, like, and I've said it so many times when I go in there, like, I like the fact that they have the merchandise and stuff, and then they have merchandise for like kids and everything like that. But guess what? They don't have. They don't have shirts for kids. They don't have kid sizes for shirts. They're all adult sizes. I'm like, so many times I would go and buy, I would totally buy a shirt for my son, but they don't have sizes for him. And it's just, it's kind of frustrating. Like, not even like just, they have such a huge selection of shirts. Just make a small section of that or a small percentage of it kid sizes. And then I might be, because obviously kids are coming in because you're selling like Ryan's World toys and like right. The random loot box crap that they have or the surprise eggs and that kind of thing. So obviously you are, you know, gearing towards that crowd, but like bring some of that stuff in so that we can buy some of that, you know, because you would think a lot of parents would be like, oh yeah, hey, I want to buy you a shirt and get them interested in stuff, but they don't have that available, which is such like a loss of potential, I think.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree.
So anyways, this was apparently part of their previously announced GameStop reboot initiative to transform their business for a future and improve their financial performance. They said, we can confirm the workforce reduction was implemented, impacting more than 120 corporate staff positions, representing an approximate 14% of our total associate base at our company headquarters, as well as some of the other offices. While these changes are difficult, they were necessary to reduce costs and better align the organization with our efforts to optimize the businesses, the business to meet our future objectives and success factors, blah, 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 blah. Basically, you know, they're trying to reduce costs and realign what their focus as a company is. So,
in other words, this is the last ditch ever to save us from total bankruptcy.
I don't know if it's last ditch, but it's kind of like
it's – we're getting we're
they're pivoting.
Yeah, pivoting. Yes, we'll stick with that.
As we knew that this announcement was coming, we finally got our announcement trailer for the Intellivision Amico, and they showed off there was a few. I don't know if it was 17 games, but there's 17 games that will be launching.
Okay, hold up though, because the trailer wasn't like I was thinking it was going to be like a trailer. Okay, so that trailer. Was like
a whole bunch of like talk.
Shots of the Amico, which you know it does. You know,
it looks nice.
Seeing those little controller screens in action was pretty neat. Mixed in with Tommy being Tommy and talking a lot for like a good 3.5 minutes of that trailer, and then like the last maybe 45 seconds was bam, 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 bam. Just a bunch of screenshots of games. Don't know what they are. Don't know much. I mean, unless you can kind of figure it out by looking. Don't really know a lot about them. Just bam, bam,
it
bam,
looked
bam,
like
bam.
a few games I recognize. Like kind of look like remakes of like
yeah. Definitely some remakes of old properties in there for sure. I mean, a lot of them kind of looked like Android cell phone gamey, but like I'm not really shading. Like, it's supposed to be a cheap freaking console. So
no, I get it. It's
I get that the quality console, of the games is not going to be Grand Theft Auto.
No, I understand that. And all the games are going to be $299 to $999. No DLC, no in-app purchases, whatever. And it's family friendly, so I get that, and that's fine. It did look like a lot of the games, and I'm trying not to like say this in a way to dog on the console, but a lot of it looked like, you know, kind of those cheap, like, oh, we're remastering some of these classic arcade games, you know, with slightly better graphics that you saw like on the PlayStation 1 type things. Whereas I would want to see more retro style games like Shovel Knight type game, or, you know, something that's like, you know, that retro style graphics, that not necessarily trying to like take an old game and make it like slightly newer. Or if you want to do that, like, you know, they have the Space Invaders Extreme or something like that, where it's still keeping that kind of classic look, but updating the gameplay would be kind of cool. But then again, it's hard to tell based on what this. And I also thought
it's still so early to pass.
I thought
judgment.
That they weren't doing like 3D games and stuff in there. I thought it was supposed to be just like 2D games.
I think you can use like 3D models in a 2D game.
Some of it looked like it was 3D. Like they had that plane thing. I don't know what that was all about, but who knows? It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that probably kind of get to break the rules a little bit, but I mean, it's way too early to pass off judgment. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm shading. I'm not. You know, let's hear more about the games. I remain open to Amico just because of the fact that the games are gonna be so cheap. You know,
yeah.
Some of those games, okay, they look like $3 games, but they are $3 games. You know, there's gonna be
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So let's hear more. Let's see. I'm curious. You know, I'm always a big proponent about. I know they're talking about families playing in the same room, but I'm curious if these things are going to do anything online. I mean, but I guess does Amico even have online capability, or did they just cut that out?
Well, how do you buy the games? Oh, online multiplayer?
Yeah.
No.
Leaderboards.
I don't think there's going to be online multiplayer. I think it's only going to be within the same room, because that's what they're talking about, is bringing the family get together to.
I, again, for the price, I sort of get that. I'm not expecting it to be like freaking Xbox Online or something like that, Xbox Live. But I was just kind of like, oh, it would be neat if like in some of these retro games you could do clips or but I guess the console's just probably not going to be powerful enough to do a lot of those modern privileges, if you will. But I still want to see what the games really are, you know?
I'm hoping that it's not going to become Anuya. And that's my only worry, because it kind of – I'm hopeful that it will be handled well, and I think it will be. But, like, in the back of my mind, I'm still kind of
– the Ouya vibes, I get it.
Because that was the Ouya thing, too. They're like, oh, our games are going to be cheap. They're going to be inexpensive. They're going to have, like, free demos and stuff like that. And then it's just like you got what you paid for with, like, cheap games. Like, a lot of them were pretty cheap experiences. But – that's not to say that it's going to happen again. That's not to say that every time that a concept like this comes out, that's going to be the same thing every time. So I want to see what's going to be on there.
It's early. We'll keep seeing what develops.
Yes.
All right.
All right. And then Sony has apparently purchased Insomniac Games, the developers of the recent Spider-Man game. And
a lot of Spider-Man news.
Ratchet and Clank, Resistance. Please, new Resistance game. I'd love a new Resistance game. It's definitely time. And, of course, Sunset Overdrive. So I guess we're not getting a sequel to that. But I'm curious to see, though, because they had... Even with Sunset Overdrive, was an awesome game, and I don't know. It's just a great studio, so I'd be curious to see what new IPs could come out from them.
Yeah, I'm curious what their PlayStation 5 game must be.
Very curious.
Clearly, that's going to be something in development.
Yeah. And then, so some more stuff real quick. So they announced the Mortal Kombat 11 DLC fighters, which is pretty cool.
Is it just me, or does it really look...
Really look what?
You cut out there. Does it really look what?
Is it just me, or does Terminator really look like Arnold?
Yes. Well, even not necessarily the T-800, but they also had, you know, Shang Tsung looks just like the actor from the Mortal Kombat.
We'd already seen that, though.
I understand
there,
that.
Him and Nightwolf, all that stuff's already out.
Spawn's awesome, but yeah, like the Arnold model's awesome. I'm kind of mixed on the Joker. I think the Joker kind of looks eh. But then I kind of went back and looked at like what they did for Injustice and stuff, and it kind of looks better than that. So
I like that Joker doesn't look like any of the actors that have played Joker. I like that they let Joker be something new.
I'm looking forward to Sindel, though.
Me too. I stan Sindel in the old games. Like, I used to love Sindel in Mortal Kombat 3.
I want more story content, though, with Sindel being in there, because she was... I mean, basically, it was because of her that all the Revenant characters were around.
I feel like I'll finally pick up Mortal Kombat 11 when all these characters are out and they release that inevitable Game of the Year collection for $20. That's what I'm waiting on.
So then Dead by Daylight announced that they're getting Stranger Things crossover DLC.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this, too.
Which looks awesome. So it's going to add the Demogorgon as one of the monsters. They're going to have also... Steve Harrington and Nancy Wheeler as characters.
Oh, they didn't want to put the children in because it's a killy killy stab stab game, but you put in so they put in the older teens. Interesting.
Yes. And then of course they also have the Hawkins National Laboratory is one of the their underground complex is one of the levels that's added in there.
Please tell me that Steve is wearing his Scoops Ahoy outfit.
He's not, but that's not to say that they don't have like costumes or whatever.
Good.
They could, and technically, if you want to be canon with the show, it should be Jonathan Byers that's with him, with Nancy, not necessarily Steve Harrington. But you can't argue with the hair. I mean, and he's definitely more popular of a character.
They could do if it's successful. They could do like Jonathan and Billy maybe as
so
characters.
When are we gonna get like a giant like? Because I get it, Dead by Daylight. I think isn't that like a 4v1 or is it like, you know, something like that? When are we gonna get the big like battle royale? Like we've got like 30 or 40, you know, monsters hunting down like 100 people type thing. That would be
honestly
amazing.
Wait, that game still performs very well on live streams and stuff, and you know it's still like I always see people streaming it on Twitch. So. Wait, I imagine the developers, if they can sell more copies by putting in a huge battle royale type of thing.
I would be down to see
that.
Wait
for it. It might happen.
And then last but not least, I would say this is pretty cool. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 is coming out. And they have this new mode that they're in there. It's a retro mode. So it actually has the different events done in the style of their 8-bit and 16-bit counterparts.
Okay, that's pretty rad. I like that. It looks like track and field, like the old Konami game.
They have track and field. They have, like, diving. They have all of the events are in a retro mode.
Okay, that's cool.
Which, honestly, this right here, I feel should have been its own game and released as part of, like, the Switch Online thing.
Oh,
because that
right.
would It really be should have been its own thing.
They could sell the retro-only version for, like, $10 or something. That would be fun. But I guess... Probably cost more money than that to develop. Probably wouldn't be able to make their money back just on that. But I love the retro mode idea. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they've got like all the different events were in there. I like they had. I was trying to pull up real quick. They had one. It was it's judo or something like that. And so they have the princess and.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Huh. it's awesome.
And they put some of Sonic's shitty friends in there too. That's
yes,
great.
They have Sonic's shitty friends in there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, that's it for news?
That's it for news.
That was still quite a bit of news for just a few days into the week. So, sadly, with this airing on Sunday, we don't know what will have developed in the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but...
I don't know. I don't think even Gamescom's going on right now.
No, Gamescom. There's no more news for Gamescom, but, you know, stuff always develops. There's always something to blog about in the gaming world. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, something will happen over the weekend. But we'll catch up on all of that when we come back after the Labor Day holiday, but... believe it or not, we're getting to about that time where we're going to wrap things up and go around to get some final thoughts and wrap things up in the studio tonight. I hope everybody has a great week off. For those that are going to Dragon Con, I can't wait to see you guys there. I'm very excited about it. There's a lot of great stuff going on. As we say towards the end of every episode of Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to air, you know, out on air. That's it. 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever you found this podcast. That goes an awful long way. Dark Soccer, sorry you couldn't be here tonight, but I'm glad we got you in the virtual sense anyway, even if we hear you typing away over there, but that's okay. Do you have a final thought
it's
for us?
Just, I'm trying to get something popped up that was kind of an emergency thing, so I was getting it taken care of.
All right, fair enough. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Make Mr. Rogers proud of you.
I like that. My final thought tonight is that lots of big changes and good things are in store. I hope I can tell you more in 2 weeks when we come back, so stay tuned for that. Not all of it is necessarily show related, though I am going to work on the bumpers. I'm really excited too about like networking and borrowing lots of good ideas at Dragon Con. Really looking forward to meeting other Twitch streamers and stealing some good ideas. Borrowing. Loki, last but not least, sir, your final thought.
So, like I said, we start in the game jam on Saturday at noon. I don't know how much time I'm going to get to stream on the weekend. I will be streaming this week, though, hopefully a lot. And my wife's actually out of town this week, so that means working late at night. So I'm hoping with the extra time, I can actually get in there and be able to put something together. I really, really want to finish something. I really do. I don't want to perpetuate this stereotype that I can't finish any games. But yeah, so check me out at twitch.tv/LokiOLR, and hopefully you'll see me streaming this week, and we'll have a lot of fun at least watching me fail, if nothing else.
Yeah, speaking of watching things on Twitch, certainly watching you do that will be a lot of fun. Also, during Labor Day weekend, keep in mind, at VOG Network, we're going to be hosting the Dragon Con Media Track. So a lot of these great panels we're talking about stealing ideas from, you can do that as well by watching all the great content over on the Dragon Con Media page. Dragon Con Digital Media Track page, which will be hosted here at VOG Network. And I'm told that even the ones that don't air live will be shown later on. They're still recording everything in the other rooms. There's going to be a lot of great stuff that's coming out of Dragon Con. Very, very, very excited for Dragon Con and the cosplay and a little vacation. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it. We will be back live on September 8th. No show next week over the Labor Day holiday. Happy gaming. Happy game jamming. Happy conventioning. Whatever it is you're doing, have a lot of fun. Be safe. And we'll be back to do it all again on September 8th live at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Thanks for joining us for another week of OLR, everybody. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.